couple weeks ago, we had the youth retreat, and a lot of kids, almost 20 kids went, I understand, and wanted to give Dave Brown just a quick chance to just debrief and share with us some of the good things that happened there.
All right. Sorry, I've been sick, so if my throat clogs up a few times, apologize in advance for it. Going into this retreat, it was one of those things that we had this anticipation about it, that we knew it was going to be a little different to start with. And we had nothing really planned other than our lessons, and we had one baptism to do. Is it not hooked in? Is it not working? Okay. I just don't like spitting on stuff and then making other people spit on stuff. But we had a good time. Man, the place we went was just a beautiful place. It's out. It's not away from everybody, but it feels like it's away from everybody. And we had these kids that have been kind of on the boundaries and pushing people, you know, just staying on the bubble a lot. Like, they started opening up. They started settling into the groups. They started sharing. They started talking. There was some stuff that was, it was just really cool. And then the part that I've got to brag on more than anything, and this is definitely a God thing, this is the most bizarre thing I've ever been a part of in any sort of ministry, whether it be Alpha or Youth or anything happen. Grace back there, I'm going to pick on her for a little bit, the green-haired gal in the back. You guys have never met her. She decided finally, after a year and a half, something like that, to get baptized. So we go down to the river. There was no place there, so we had to drive down to the sandy. We found this little hole on the side of the river that worked really well. We baptized her, and then we're starting to walk away. You know, everybody pile back into the trucks and go back. Hey, you guys got a second? This kid named Nathan that goes with us, he raises his hands. Dude, I've been wanting to get baptized for a long time. I think now's the right time. Talk to him. I know he follows the Lord. I had several conversations about that before, so we baptized him. And okay, we started going back to the truck again. Hey, you guys got a minute? I kid you not. This little kid named Gwen, we call her Penguin. She's like this tall. She's got a fuzzy head. If you ever see her, you'll never miss her. She's great. She had been kind of, her and Ari had been, Ari, I don't know if you guys remember Shannon Tharp. Sometimes she's around her. She's a friend with Ari, Ariana. She'd been kind of whispering back and forth between the two of them. She says, you know what, I've heard what you guys talk about this life after death, and I want that. I really want that. I want it right now. So right there on this side, I'm getting all goosebumps and shaky. But right there on the side of the river, she prayed the prayer. We took her on the river, and we baptized her right there. And it was an amazing thing. And this wasn't something that was like a heat of the moment. You could tell. I mean, this changed her. When she came up out of the water, she was different. I mean, wouldn't you agree with me, Jenny? And then two more. One of them being, I'm not going to pick on him too much because he's not here, but Kenny. He rededicated his life right then and there. And then a kid named Matt, I don't know if you guys know Matt. He also did. And it was just one of those things. You saw the broken spirit. You saw God had changed them. They turned a light on in their eyes. And the rest of the weekend after that was cool. I mean, that night, Cora had a really good conversation with the girls. And it was just a ministry time. Just one of those times you shut all the doors and shut off all the distractions and you just talked. And it was a really cool time. And it was just one of those things. Is I had conversations with one of our kids that I thought I would never have. That he was one of those kids that's like, for the longest time we've been, there was one time, I kid you not, about 3 years ago, we were deciding whether to ask him back to youth group or not. Because we just could not control him. He wouldn't be respectful. He wouldn't think. And he came up to me, hey, can I go talk to you? Can we step aside and talk? And we've had a couple discipleship meetings with him now. And at the end of this month, if everything works out with his mom, we're going to take him down to the river and baptize him over here in the Clackamas. So that's really cool. So this retreat, God was just alive. That's the only way to say God was alive and present. And we just kind of pray and we hope that this keeps rolling. And we hope this is just the iceberg. And I want to see these kids explode. I want to see lights come on and lives be changed. So,
awesome. This is on. Let me unmute myself. Sorry about that. I should have done that before. Luke and Amber, you guys want to come up and figure out if I'm on or not? Da-da-da-da. We tried. That's fine. And you brought Caroline. formally get to introduce Luke and Amber Backus to you guys, to Two Rivers Church. So give them a nice greeting.
So I guess we're going to share a microphone, if that's all right. We'll go back and forth. Do you have anything to say? No, not yet. All right. We decided, in lieu of a sermon, as far as that we would share the word just with our lives and get a chance to get to know Luke and Amber a little bit and what we're excited about for the future. Obviously, the youth group is not in chaos or in disrepair or things are going bad. It's just the opposite. In fact, in the last few months, God has done so much to rebuild the youth group. And I was thinking, I guess God didn't want us to have a part-time youth director after all. And then all of a sudden, boom, I met Luke. And it just didn't take long after meeting this couple to see that God had a plan for our church to have these guys be here. I'm absolutely convinced of that. And I want to get a chance for them to share with you. Luke, first of all, just so they get to know you a little bit, you are working and have worked in homes or in, not institutions, but mostly like in rehab or outtake kind of things with at-risk youth, like 6 years. Talk about what that means. What does it mean to work with that, and why is that a good thing that you keep doing that? This is going to be fun, I can tell.
Pass the mic, pass the baby.
I am? Okay, good. All right.
For me, I grew up with, I guess, a rough background myself, and was considered an at-risk teen at one point, and went through lots of troubles, broke a lot of rules, some laws in there as well. But thankfully, I had people speaking to my life, and what they spoke to me was the Word of God, and that changed me tremendously. So as a follower of Christ today, I feel it's something that God has placed on my heart to reach out to the youth of this nation and speak into their lives. A lot of lies are taught to kids these days. I mean, you can think about how unruly kids are if you compare them to, not even my generation, past my generation. You know, you guys are like 50 and older, and I'm sure you can tell stories about, we could take shotguns to school and our principal would go shoot shotguns with us, and you know, we can't do that nowadays, obviously. But God has placed this on my heart, and, you know, I love what I do, and that's why I do it.
So did you tell me once that you have the nickname of Beast?
Yeah.
With some of the guys? Is that true?
Yeah, so...
Is it because of your beard? Your Duck Dynasty beard? Or what is it? Why are you called Beast?
Some of the guys do call me Duck Dynasty bearded guy. I don't know how it came about, but a few of the guys where I work currently part-time, I started last year around this time, and they started calling me Beast, and so I never did find out why, but so they call me, so when someone says Luke where I work, I'm just like, who's that? I'm used to be calling Beast. So, yeah. Like
if you get a chance to either, you know, become a Facebook friend with him or somehow on his Facebook is a video of him drinking a gallon of milk in 60 seconds. It's nuts.
Most of it ended up on the floor.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything. So, Amber, I want to ask you a question. This should be fun. I love this musical chairs with Caroline.
Wipe some spit off there.
You told me that when you guys first came to one of our worship services here, that the second you walked in the door, you felt like you were at home. Can talk about that. Why did you? Because we're kind of weird. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, right?
We like weird. We fit in with weird. That's us. I love about this church that it's not about the building, that it is about real people loving the Lord. And that was evident as soon as I walked in. And this church just reminds me of my home church. I'm from Florida. I do have to say, though, that the people here are definitely warmer and more welcoming than back home. So.
Well, yeah. In Florida, come on. what Luke, what you've been, you guys have been to the youth group on Wednesday nights a few times now. What's your take? What's your impression of the, of these kids and the amazing team of volunteers that we have?
Yeah, so I be gentle.
Let's just get honest here. Yeah.
Well, whether it's, you know, Charles and Casey or, you know, Dave who was up here and the others, the first thing I notice is their hearts and how they want to reach these kids. And they see the troubles they go through, and they're like, you know what? I feel called by God to reach these kids. So that was the first thing that stood out to me, and that excited us so much because it's important to have a team that we're all here for a reason. We're all here to change lives of these kids. So that was the first thing that stood out. As far as the, I called it controlled chaos, you know, when I came in here, I saw kids running around, I saw big smiles on their faces, and I was like, man, this is pretty awesome. You know, Casey's doing his thing in the band, and I've heard great things about Charles and the kids, or one of the kids, I can't remember her name right now, but she was like, oh, you're coming, you're the new youth leader or youth director, and does that mean Dave's leaving? Because if Dave's leaving, I'm not coming anymore. And for me, I was like, man, that is awesome. I'm glad you said. And I told her, I was like, I'm glad you said that, because that shows me the heart that Dave has and how much Dave means to you guys. So I was so encouraged to hear that from her.
So this is not what we have going here is not a substitution. It's not like, you know, they got to get the other squad in. It's more as just I just see the ministry is ripe for expansion. And every single one of the volunteers has expressed to me they wish they had more time. They wish they had more time. All of them are working full-time jobs. All of them are so involved. Some are getting married. And, you know, it's just crazy. And they don't have the time that we can offer to someone like Luke, who can give 20 hours a week thanks to your giving and for the way we've planned our budget. So that's one of the beautiful things about what Luke can do. Caroline. Yeah, that's all right. Amber, we're not hiring you. Did you know that? We're not hiring you. We're hiring Luke. But Amber really, really, really wants to be a part of what's going on. Why is it important to you that the kids see that you guys are a team and that you want to be involved with the kids as well? Or just give me a little bit about that.
That's a great question. So everyone knows that when you're married, you're kind of a unit, right? I think back on my youth group years, and I think, gosh, my youth pastor had a lot to say kind of about love and marriage, and I don't know, I just feel like if I'm present, then when Luke speaks on love and marriage, it kind of shows more. So, I mean, my plan is to kind of be present. Yeah. Good. I mean, Caroline's little, so
right.
That's hard right sure. now, but eventually, more and more, I'd like to be involved.
Absolutely. That's great. That's great. We love it. I think that's wonderful. Luke, you've only been in Portland for a year. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, just, you guys, they're from originally, you're originally from North Carolina, but I know you've been all over the place, all over the nation, really. But you shared with me something about how God called you here. Would you mind giving us a little bit of that story?
Yeah, so this is, and first of all, don't take this as me boasting about myself. This is all praise to our Father in heaven. About, I guess, 7 years ago, I felt called to move to Portland, Oregon. I'd never been here before, didn't know anybody. And it's not like God came out of the skies and gave me an audible, say, hey, go to Portland. I felt it on my heart. And we make a joke today, it was kind of a prerequisite for us to date. Like, hey, Amber, when we move to Portland, Oregon someday, you got to be okay with that.
Have you ever been here before?
No, never been here before. So, and it took her a couple years. But I was really wanting her to be ready for this because it's a big move. She's close to her family. She has tons of nieces, five or six of them, six on the way. And so she was close to her family, or still is. But she said she was ready last summer, and we came out here and didn't have a job. Neither of us had a job, didn't have a place to stay, didn't know anybody. But we knew God would be faithful. And we've gone through so much with our marriage and our lives that we knew we could trust God. So we packed up and sold a few things, and we drove out here. We rolled into town, and I got in touch with an old college acquaintance who I knew was from Portland, but he didn't live here anymore. And he hooked us up with some people, and they invited us to stay in their house. And so this was in the first week we got here. And then a job that I have now I found the week after. So all in about 2 weeks, God covered everything, and a full-time job. And she found a full-time nanny job. And we also got pregnant, and we weren't preventing for several years. But we looked at it as we were finally walking in obedience, moving out here to Portland. God's like, okay, now I'm going to bless you. Not that he couldn't use us before, because he definitely did. But for us, it was like, okay, this is the real deal. You're finally walking in obedience. Luke and Amber, here you go. And we got pregnant. And she was born June 24th, and just so many blessings poured in from God. And so that's my encouragement to you guys that, God is faithful for sure.
I have talked to at least three other guys, younger guys, who all have said the exact same thing. They're one from Southern California, another one from Montana, that have come to Portland, and I asked them for their story, and they say, God just told me I need to be in Portland. I wonder what he's doing. What's God doing, you think? It makes me wonder, doesn't it? It's exciting. It's exciting to think about that. A lot of you know, if you've been around, if you've been involved in any of our congregational meetings, you know that it's been a struggle to get this part-time youth director. It's been over a year of trying. We use there's a website that most youth guys use. They go on to see if there's any jobs available, ministries available, or the church tries to sell themselves, or not sell themselves, but, advertise. So anyway, I did that. I did that the first time, and boy, I made you guys look good. I made you sound good. And the youth group was amazing. And I got a ton of hits. And I talked to probably 20 different people. And then we interviewed. And a few of them we talked to, and they came here, and they got scared. Some just said, nah, this looks a little messy. So what I did, I reposted this summer, and I wrote the worst marketing resume you could imagine. I say, do you want to come to a place that's difficult and with hurting kids and na-na-na and drugs and na-na-na-na? If you want to get your hands dirty, think about, coming to Two Rivers Church. Don't even consider answering this unless you are willing. And do you know that Luke was the only one to answer? So it was it wasn't a very, I wouldn't make a very good used car salesman, I don't think, but.
He was even like, I like this pastor, I have to apply to this job.
Yeah. So, Amber, you've got the mic. What I'd like, just as we close this time, I'd love you just to share a verse, a passage. What's been meaningful for you for whatever reason, maybe during this transition or just in your life? And how can you encourage us, the saints, with the word of God before we go today?
I really had to pray about this. Ephesians 4 comes to mind. And what moved me most is that no matter where we are, there are believers, at least in the U.S. And it's great to be a part of this body and serve alongside all of you. Let me just read the first part of Ephesians 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Therefore is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. We're just excited to be here and serve alongside you. And those qualities, loneliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, those are things I strive for and I want to continue to strive for and to be encouraged to strive in with you guys. So I just wanted to share that.
Luco. Yeah, that's the same thing.
Okay. Oh, that's done. What happens here? So in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, God talks about how I'm going to send you a shepherd, and I'm going to filter out the goats from the sheep, and how there's false prophets and false shepherds, you know, shepherds that lead the sheep astray and don't really follow God. So would you mind? And for me, for the last few years, I felt that was God speaking to me, saying, hey, you're going to be one of those shepherds, and you're going to shepherd youth. So I'm going to send you out. And so we've been praying for a long time, whether it was we were in foster care or just working at at-risk facilities where I work now part-time, or youth pastor, youth director role. You know, God opened this door, and we're praying, God, open the right door and close all the wrong doors. And so like Rob was saying, that whenever he wrote that description, like that's the description I was looking for. I wasn't looking for these other churches to write like, oh, it's perfect here and we got this, this, and that. That for me was like boring. And I was like, I drive myself nuts in that situation. So I have to operate in like chaos and a mess. You know, that's when I operate best. And because that's how God brought us out of all that. So for me, Ezekiel, that whole chapter, I can't give you a verse, just that whole chapter, Ezekiel 34, I felt God speaking to me, and you know, here we are carrying that out, you know, praying that we'll be faithful servants. Exactly.
And while a lot of us work well in the chaos, Luke and I have both talked about how we still want to work in excellence. Yeah. You know, we still want to do the very best we can. We don't want, it's not going to just be what, you know, let's see what happens. We're going to try to prepare and do the very best we can to serve people and to serve the Lord. So it's a beautiful thing. I'm so glad you guys are here. Thank you for, let's do something fun here. Let's have the youth staff, first of all, Jenny, Charles, you know, all you guys, all the adults, why don't you come up first? And we're going to pray over Luke and Amber. And then after the staff gets here, let's have all the, any high schoolers, any junior hires that are here, come on up. If you would just allow me to be your representative here to anoint them and to pray God's blessing. Join with me, would you, as we just commit this couple to this ministry. Lord, we thank you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this couple's life. Lord, we thank you for bringing them to us and the opportunity to serve together. Lord, if it be your will, we pray for many years of a fruitful ministry. God, I pray that you would, in the name of Jesus, you would give this couple incredible power through your Holy Spirit to be able to minister and work. We anoint them, Lord, to your service. Lord, and with that comes, I hope, great blessing, but also incredible accountability and help them to live holy lives and to stay strong for you and to be servants and to really love and to shepherd as Luke shared earlier. Help them, Lord, because this is going to be hard. They're putting a target on their back right now, and we pray for that protection and that they'll be strong when it gets hard. And I just pray for the entire youth ministry that it would expand and grow, and we would see hundreds of kids come to know you. Because, Lord, if ever there's a time when we need to see you be strong, we want our kids to lead us. Let the youth lead the adults in what you're doing and show us. So we pray for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Hey, awesome. So don't leave. I would love to ask you guys just to come give Luke and Amber a handshake or a hug and just welcome them. Also, if you didn't get the email this week, I want to say thank you for the incredible offering to Teen Challenge. Over $3,000 we gave because of your very generous offering. So praise the Lord for that. You guys gave over $1,500. We promised we'd match it. So I may be out on the streets with a sign saying need work or something, but I know it's God's money. I know he's going to take care of us. It's exciting. I'd love to be able to share this money with that ministry. So thanks again for that. Say hi to Luke and Amber. God bless you guys. Have a great week.